You're going to play a little bit of interactive with me here this morning, if you wouldn't care, please. We got a I got something I want to show you, and I want to ask you a question about it, if you wouldn't care. Once they get it ready here for me. All right. Do you know what those are? They're carrots. Carrot tops. Now, if you look at those and you say, which one of them would you think is ready to be picked? Huh? Mostly all leaves. Would it be, you know, would it be, if you had to pick, which one would you pick? Okay. Go ahead, next slide. You know, isn't that the way life is sometimes? Sometimes we have one picture of our life, and we think that that one picture, you know what, is sufficient for everything, but you got to wait till the end, do you not? You've got to wait till it's completed to find out what the whole thing is. Maybe, you know, just one picture doesn't do it. If you would turn to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, I'm going to read this scripture here in a little bit, so just bear with me. A woman walked in to return a pair of glasses here a while back, and she walked into the store, and she asked the clerk, she said, I want to return these glasses. I bought them for my husband. The clerk asked, well, what's the matter with him? Well, he, you know what she said? You know what? He still doesn't see things the same way I do. That's funny, but guess what? Don't we do that to God? Don't we do that to people in our lives sometimes? Don't we see just one little snapshot of their life? One little snapshot of something going on, and we think, well, God, you know what? I see this. I concentrate only on this. You see, God sees the whole picture. We don't. We don't see the whole picture. And you know what? I wondered about that one time. You know, one picture does not tell a whole story. One picture does not tell a whole life. One picture of our family history. I mean, I could go through in here this morning, and I could ask you a question. How many of you here got family photos? I bet almost all of you here have family photos. If you just took one picture out of that family photo, would it tell your whole story of your whole life? It wouldn't do it, would it? It wouldn't do it. Why? Because our life is more than just one picture. God working in us is more than one instance in our life, is it not? Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, I believe that God, you know, God sees the big picture when we can't. I'm going to talk to a little bit of the young people here this morning. Your life is just beginning. Right now, you're focused on one little picture in your life, maybe getting to graduation, maybe getting through college. But I'm here to tell you, your life is way more than that. Your life, if the good Lord gives you a long life, which I hope and pray that He does, and He does not come back, your life will be more than what you're focused on right here this morning. My major premise is this morning, when I'm talking to you as I'm preaching to you, and I'll get to the sermon, I'll get to the scripture here in a minute, and I'll get to the prayer. My major premise, you and I can't trust our eyes sometimes. You know that? We cannot trust our eyes sometimes. I call this sermon this morning Snapshot because I want to talk to you a little bit about that this morning. You know why? Because our eyes can't see into the future. They can't see what God has planned for everybody in this church this morning. And I've talked about this on numerous occasions. I like Jeremiah 29:11. I like that scripture. I'm going to read it before I get to my main scripture. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I'm here to tell you this morning, I want you to know this. There's an expected end to your life one of these days, and God knows how that life's going to turn out. Amen? He knows where it's going to happen. What you're going to go through from the time that you're born on this planet until the time that you go out of this life, God knows what the expected end's going to be. We talked about different versions of the Bible this morning a little bit. I want to read to you the NIV version of this same thing. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. I don't know what's going on in your life here this morning. I'm here to tell you, God has sent this message for somebody here this morning. Do you understand that? God has sent that here. God knows the plans. God knows your future, and He knows what direction it's going to end up. Do you know that? I could go around here and ask people in this church this morning, whenever you started out on this road serving the Lord, and watch you, however long ago it was in your life, and look at your life today, did you think it was what it was going to be by the time you started out on this path? It wasn't. I can say that about me and my family. It's not where it was at whenever we started. That we must learn to look to, and we must learn to trust God who sees the unseen. Amen? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, starting with the 16th verse. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now listen to this. This is what I want you to concentrate on this morning. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Did you get that? You look around you and what's going on in your life here this morning and what's going on in you. Those are temporal. Those are just for a little bit. But the things which are more are not seen are what? They are eternal. Those are the things that are eternal in our lives. That's why I believe that He's telling us that this morning. We've got to look beyond what is out there and look to the things that are unseen. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I pray, Father, that this message, Lord, goes out the way that You would have it to go out, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that we would look and put our trust in the things that we can't see. Put our trust in the things, Lord, that You have control of this morning. You positively and absolutely have control of these things this morning. We know that. We love You, Father. We love You for Your Son, Jesus, that died for us. And Father, we pray, Lord, that You would just help us, Father, to take this message, Lord, and to use it for Your glory and for Your honor. And we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. When it's saying to fix one's eyes upon, it means to direct our attention to. When you're reading that, when it says to fix your eyes upon, it's telling you and it's telling me that we need to fix our eyes on the unseen things that God has out there. How do we do that? We can't see them. That's where faith comes in. That's where the faith that God has given every one of us to know and to understand that He has complete control. Even though we can't see what's going on, even though we can't see the end of the plan, I'm here to tell you this morning that God has it in His control this morning. Every day, our attention is grabbed by things that are visual. Don't we tend to focus on the things that we see that are visible right in front of us sometimes? And we look past the things, the invisible things that God has for us. But we look past. I'm a creature of that way myself. I grab my phone up, I stroll through, I either read the papers, I do all a number of things, and my attention gets focused on what I can see, what is temporal in front of me too many times. And I'm thinking, man, what is going on? How's this? Why is the world like it? Listen to me. We need to focus more on the things that are unseen. Where God is working behind the scenes. Where God is working to get things, on a national basis and even on a personal basis in our lives. We can be absorbed by everyday life, can we not? Have you ever been absorbed by everyday life? And you know what? You failed to focus on the things that God has for us out there, the unseen things that God has for each and every one of them. You can let the problems and the trials of this life bring you so far down that you see no hope. I'm here to tell you this morning, there's hope in Jesus Christ. there's hope in the one that we serve day in and day out. The one that loves us, the one that is working behind the scenes. If we just let Him work, if we just let Him do that, everyday life can cause problems for us, cause us to get our mind off of the things that God wants us to have them on. Remember, there is a bigger picture. Do we understand that? There is a bigger picture. I understand, I'm like this too. When things are going on in my life and in my family, that's what I tend to put my focus totally on. And I take my focus off of where it should be, and that's Jesus Christ. I take my focus off of the unseen things where God has used. And just like that picture right there told you, that picture, whenever I showed you the first one, it didn't tell you the whole story. Listen to me. By the time the thing that's going on in your life ends, there may be a better good. There may be a bigger good that God has for you at the end of all of it. You can't see it now, but I'm here to tell you this morning that God has this thing under control. I believe it wholeheartedly. Paul knew this, that all suffering would take a toll on the outward man. All of us in here have went through things or going through things, and it has taken a toll on us. Amen? It has taken a toll on us. But you know what also Paul knew? That the inward man can be renewed in over and over and over again. Because why? Paul knew that he had to quit focusing so much on what was going on right in front of him and put his focus on the unseen, on the eternal things that only Jesus Christ and God can give us. Paul was looking past all the pain and suffering. Most of you in here know I've read this scripture before. This is some of the suffering that Paul suffered and what Paul went through. It's found in 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 28. You can read it. I can read it or you can go along with me. It says, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, saved one." He was beaten. Five times he was beaten. 39 times they didn't give him the 40th stripe because they said if they did that, if it caused death, then they would be in trouble. It said, "Thrice was I beaten with rods." That doesn't even include the other beatings that he took. "Once I was stoned. Thrice I had suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I had been in the deep." You all remember the story in Acts where the shipwreck, wherever he was in the sea. "In journeying, often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, and in perils among false brethren." And this is the one right here sometimes that I think we overlook in verse 27 and 28. "In weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting, often in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily." Did you get that? "The care of all the churches." Paul knew the bigger picture, did he not? He could see past everything that he had been through, all the suffering that he had been through. Do you not think for one minute that Satan did not come against that man daily, trying to get through to him and tell him, "You know what? Look what you gave up. Look what you've given up. Which was happening to you now?" And Paul looked at all this stuff and said, "Praise God, it's worth it." Because Paul looked past the things that were going on with him right at that time. Amen? He looked past it. He knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that there was something beyond all this that you and I go through on a daily basis sometimes of what's going on in your life right now because of what God was accomplishing in him. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you decide you get on fire for God and you want to live closer to God, I'm here to tell you Satan's coming after you. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to stand up here and sugarcoat it. If you decide to get serious with God, I'm here to tell you this morning, Satan is going to send everything that he can at you. That's when you've got to look past what's in front of you. Look to the eternal things. Look to the things just that you can accomplish through Jesus Christ in your life. the things that need to be accomplished to help others come to realize. He goes and he says, for our light afflictions. Man, I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life they didn't feel light. How about you? Right? They didn't feel light. But Paul was telling us that even in the worst of our afflictions, even at the worst of our life and what's going on in our lives, he's telling us, look past it and see the eternal glory that awaits. There's an eternity that waits for us one of these days where this stuff cannot touch us anymore. Will not be able to touch our lives anymore. Yes, our afflictions is light compared to what others are suffering. You get that? There are times in my life I complain about things sometimes, Sarah. I complain about things sometimes, and I got to thinking about what's going on in other people's lives, and I get so ashamed. I get so ashamed. I get so down on myself for thinking, you know, my afflictions. Our afflictions are like compared to what we deserve. Do you understand that? Jesus Christ died upon the cross that you and I can have salvation. He took all that penalty for us. You know what? We deserved every bit of that. We deserved every bit of that. What afflictions we suffer down here are light in comparison to what God has for us one day. Our afflictions are light compared to what Jesus suffered. You know what? Even the beatings and all that he nailed him to the cross, I don't think that was the greatest suffering of all. I believe the greatest suffering was whenever God turned his back on him because he could not look upon sin. Because he took sin for us. That's what I feel. Whenever he was in that garden and he was praying, and you remember the sweats, there's like blood coming from him because of what he knew that he had to take upon himself. Our afflictions are light compared to the blessings that we one day will enjoy. Do you agree with me on that? Our afflictions are light compared to one day what we will enjoy. You know, can you in your mind explain to me eternity? Can anybody in here explain to me ever and ever and ever and go keep going and going and going, no end to it? Can you explain that to me? That's what the joy we're going to have one of these days. Amen. Forever and ever. We can really, Paul said, our light affliction. Yes, let's look at it like this. Let's look at it like a snapshot, you know, a picture. I'm thinking about this. You know what? I could have showed you pictures of family get-togethers that we had, like going to the beach, and I could show you these pictures and thinking, man, these are great times. And then how that it didn't end up that way at the end of it. You know what I'm saying? I could show you, we went to the beach one time. Went to the beach down there one time. We got down there on the beach, and here some boy had drowned. His family had went to the beach for a nice vacation. Probably started out with beautiful pictures of their vacation. Ended up, the guest boy got into a drift current of some kind and ended up drowning. You see, the one picture didn't tell the whole story. And I'm here to tell you this morning. I'm here to tell you this morning, one picture doesn't tell our whole story either. You may be suffering right now, and that's just a snapshot of your life right now. But I'm here to tell you, God is going to work it out for your good if you just hang on and believe that He can do that in your life. Ecclesiastes 7:8 tells us this, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. I'm going to read that again because I believe that's important scripture to us. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Man, human beings are impatient human or people, are we not? We are impatient because guess what? I want it now. I want it yesterday. Am I right? We're like that sometimes. We want you to answer our prayers right now. Listen to me. God sees the big picture, and it may not be the best thing to answer your prayers right now. Maybe He is bringing you, He's showing you. Maybe He's doing something in your life, a work in your life that would never, ever have been done if He had not if he had not brought you the path that you went down? I don't know. But God knows. God knows. Paul knew that all afflictions automatically didn't produce glory. You know that? Paul knew that. I'm not going to be so bold to stand up here to tell you that. Paul knew that if a person could allow suffering to destroy them, that that's what would happen, because that's what Satan would have. But I'm here to tell you this morning, I'm here to tell you, if you allow the suffering and the afflictions of this life and don't look past all this and look to the eternal, if you do not do that and you're just allowing this day, what's going on in your life right now, to destroy you, you may have the opportunity, you may never get to know the glories of eternity one of these days. I'm here to tell you, that may be the case. That may be the case. We've got to understand this morning that, listen, we've got to look past all this and look to the things that aren't seen here this morning. Do you know that a person can allow afflictions of this life? You can allow that stuff to make you bitter. They can make you miserable. And they can make you self-focused if we so allow them to do that. And I believe that's why Paul told us, listen, and he said, look beyond all this. Look to the unseen things. There are going to be new trials come your way every day. Do you understand that? There are going to be new trials come your way very, very. You know what? In somebody's life, there's going to be new trials come. Maybe not every day, but they're going to be coming in your life. But you know what? I believe God is going to use them to bring you closer to Him, if you allow them to do that, if you allow these trials and these light afflictions to do that. God will be able to bring you closer to Him. And isn't that the ultimate goal? Isn't that the ultimate goal, is to get closer to God and to grow, as Greg said this morning, to grow? We need to grow time and time again, day and day in our life, we need to grow. I say this all the time, and I believe this. You know what? If you're not a stronger Christian and have not grown a year, what you were for this time last year, you need to get to an altar somewhere. Amen. You need to get to the altar. I'm here to tell you, we should be stronger. Amen. We should be a stronger Christian than what we were this time last year if we are really focusing on the things that are eternal. We should be. We should be trusting more. We should be asking God, you know, what more can I do for you, instead of what you want Him to do for you. Amen? Because I believe that we can do that. Yes, trials will come our way. I'm not going to be naive and tell you that, you know what, I've never been the type of preacher to say, listen, you know what, when you become a Christian, it's all roses, it's all great. I don't do that. I'm not about to start that with you this morning, because I know better than that. Because I know that this world will bring trials and tribulations. Jamie preached last Sunday night about Psalms 23rd, the 23rd Psalm. I'm going to read some of it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We preach that at funerals sometimes. We use that for a funeral. But listen, I'm here to tell you this morning, that is for you this morning. Amen. That is snapshot scripture right there. What you're going through this morning, right there is a verse, is verses of Scripture. Listen, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If He's leading you this morning and guiding your path, what do you need? What more do you need? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. Listen to me. He has restored my soul over and over and over again. Whenever I'm going through these little pictures of my life where I'm thinking, oh, woe is me, I look at that scripture and He has restored my soul time and time again. How about you this morning? How about you? Jamie did an outstanding job on that last Sunday night. If you weren't here to listen to it, you know what? I pray that you get, listen to it. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm here to tell you this morning, He restoreth us time and time again. Restoreth our hearts and our souls time and time again. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Unless the Lord comes back, folks, all of us in here are going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death one of these days. It may be all of a sudden. You may be on your deathbed for a while. I do not know, but all of us will face death one of these days. And praise God, aren't you glad that you have a shepherd to go with you? Aren't you glad this morning to know that whenever you close your eyes in death, there'll be Jesus there to meet you, to help you go through one of these days for eternity? I've heard Paul talk about his dad, the deathbed experience that he talked about. You know what? And he's talking about things that, you know what, he could put them only in his human mind and in his human vision what they were like. I'm here to tell you, it's probably a zillion times better than that. Amen? Our Lord will support us when all others don't support us. You understand that this morning? Whenever it seems like there's nobody else around to help you, whenever it seems like there's no one else around to support you, maybe there's not that person right there. Listen to me, God is there. You may be going through something in your life right now that, like I said, a little snapshot of your picture of your life right now where you think nobody cares, nobody loves you. I'm here to tell you, if you know Jesus, you're wrong, because Jesus loves you and He does care for you. Look past what you see in front of you and look to the things that are eternal, the things that are unseen. If you could see, you remember Elijah 1, and he said, I'm here by myself, and God opened up and showed him, they told him that there was 9,000 other people, I believe it was 9,000 other prophets of Baal. He opened up the sky one time and showed him all the angels that were standing by. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what is around us out here? Yes, I believe there is a supernatural realm out there. I'm here to tell you. I believe that what you're seeing out here, this unseen out here, this whatever you, other dimension, whatever you want to call it out here, I'm here to tell you God has it under control out here. And there are things that if we could, our eyes were open, spiritually speaking, to see what was out there, we would be on our knees. We would be on our knees this very moment. I'm here to tell you. Our Lord will support us when no one else will support us. I'm here to tell you this morning. Listen, and I'm going to read that one more time as they come and get a song. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You just what you're going through right now, folks, it's just temporal. It's just for a little while. But there's an eternity waiting. And praise God, we can go there. I'm going to ask you this morning, do you know Jesus as your Savior this morning? That's the most important question that any preacher should ever ask you. Do you understand that? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Not if you've been baptized. Not if you've done this. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning? Because if you don't know Him this morning, they play this song, I'm asking you, come to this altar this morning. Come up here to this altar and let's get it right with Him. Let's do that.